Blog Talk Radio.
God is providing a way out of no way.
where we give God the honor and the praise, and we are so, so blessed and so grateful and so thankful that God has allowed us to see another wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. It's been a little while. I can give you all some praise reports, but I first of all just want to thank the Lord for each and every one of you all for your prayers concerning my brother Warren Van and my mom. And I just want to say thank you all. I appreciate the prayers. I appreciate the phone calls, the emails, and the text. As always, we understand the power of prayer and how prayer can change things. So we thank God for each and every one of you all. Let me go back to the top, the tippy top of the show. It is I, your host, Reverend Willie J. Van Jr., bringing you greetings from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We are so blessed and so thankful for each and every one of you all. Well, as I've already established and said, there is power in prayer. Come on now, you need to say there's power in prayer. And with that prayer and with that power, we understand that God is the source of that power, but we need to tap into that source. We need to talk to that source. So the way that we communicate to God is through prayer. So if you'll join with me mentally and spiritually, though we're not touching and agreeing physically, but in the spirit realm we are. So let us pray. We first of all thank you, Lord God. We thank you for what you've done, allowing our sins to be forgiven. We thank you, Lord God, for how you've blessed us and taken care of us, and you've done so many wonderful and miraculous things. Lord God, without you, we would still be lost. And because of who you are and because of our relationship with you, we just say thank you. Then we ask, Lord God, that you will bless those who are dealing with loss, who dealing with tragedy from the Bahamas, from the islands of the Bahamas, all the way coming up the East Coast as this hurricane is, or tornado, is coming up the East Coast. We are praying that you will bless and bring peace to those in Jamaica, our Caribbean brothers and sisters. And then for those who are in Florida and coming up the West Coast, the East Coast, we pray that you will even bless us as we prepare here in the nation's capital for such a horrific tornado. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for how you healing my family. I thank you, Lord God, how you have allowed my brother Warren to see yet another day. I thank you, Lord God. I ask that you continue to bless and heal my mother, Eleanor Van, Elder Eleanor Van. I thank you for now being able to be prepared for another surgery. And we understand that that's the process that God is using to heal her. Then we just want to pray, Lord God, for my brother's significant other, Debbie Bacon. We're praying that you will heal her heart, that you will fix her heart, that it will beat with regulation, with regularly, or with a regular heart rate, that the chambers or the valves will move and function properly. Then we ask, Lord God, that you bless all of the men and the women that's a part of Omega Ministry. We have so many different men and women who we are connected to, and to do ministry in so many different areas. Lord God, we thank you for giving us this attitude to do your will. Now, Lord God, we ask that tonight's word be a blessing, but that it will challenge and that it will also bring clarity to everyone's life. I thank you, Lord God. I give you honor. I give you praise, for you are so worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, Lord God, you are worthy. We say amen. Well, again, amen, my brothers and sisters. Let me share with you tonight, if you have a comment, this is about participation. If you have a comment or question or a criticism, I hear those too. You can press 1 on your phone, and I will be able to unmute your mic. For those who are listening to the rebroadcast, then you will be able to contact me through email. My email is JAYV91@yahoo.com. That's JVan91@yahoo.com. We would love to hear from you. We thank the Lord for you. Well, tonight's lesson comes from somewhat of a familiar place. And it is found in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now, this story, let's read the scripture. And then we can go back and give you a little background. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting at verse 1, the word of the Lord reads, and this is the NIV translation. So your King James or other translation might be a tad different. But the word of the Lord reads, "Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord, your God himself, will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did in Sinar and Og, the kings of the Ammonites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will, verse 5, the Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you." This is where we need to really pay attention. Verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." This is the reading of God's word. We have read, again, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verses 1 through 8. Let me give you a little background of where we are in the history of Israel. We are now in the era where Moses has already been disobedient to the will of God. God has allowed him to lead the nations of Israel. And through these many battles and through this land, God had promised Moses and their forefathers, that he would deliver them into a land of milk and honey, that it would be so easy, it would be that they'll be able to just to walk in. Now here, Moses is having a discussion with the nation. He has been, because of his disobedience, God has told him, and let me go back, God told him to strike the rock. Excuse me. God told him to tap the rock, and he struck the rock. He was not obedient to the will of God, and because of his disobedience, then God has said that he was not allowed into this land. So. Well, God told him to speak to the rock. I'm sorry. Let me make sure I'm saying it right. So here we are. Moses and his right-hand man, his brother Joshua, they're standing before the nation. And God has told him, Moses that is, that he would not be able to enter into this land that was promised to his people, but that Joshua would be the one to march them into this new era, this new part of history for the nation. And what we want to learn, or one of the things that we want to take away, and we spoke about this on the prayer line on yesterday, we spoke about the fact that in the church, there are people who feel like they are, it is their right, it is their responsibility to literally die in the pulpit, to be in a place and into a position where they can no longer, they have to do that, and that's the only thing they can do. What I've learned and realized that in our lives, that God has blessed us and gives us assignments. Hey, what's up, Wes? God has given us assignment, and when our assignment is up and when our assignment is finished, it doesn't necessarily mean that our lives will end. Now, yes, here for Moses, it was the end of a time for him that he would transition. But for us, we feel that once we become a deacon or officer, then that's the position we must hold for the rest of our lives. And when we do that, we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to use our creativity and to use our gifts to bless the nation. Now, here again, I'd say God has spoken to Moses, and Moses is about to make this transition. And Joshua is now stepping up to the plate or grabbing the baton to continue to run this race. But so many of us find ourselves in positions at church or in organizations that we feel like that's all we can do. I give you a prime example. Just because you've been the pastor for the last 20 or 30 or 40 years does not mean that the ministry dies with you. It does not mean that God cannot use you in a different capacity. Who is it for us to believe and think that God is so limited in his ability and his authority that he will tell us we ought to do one thing and one thing only? My beliefs and my understanding is that God freely gives his gift to whomever he shall choose. And so if that is the fact, if that is the case, according to the word of God, then we understand that the gift that we had 10, 20 years ago might be different from the gift or the skill sets that we have today. Now, I know you've gotten comfortable. You've been the Sunday school teacher for the adult or the junior adults or for the last 20 or 30 years. And that's your class, and everybody has come and taken your class. How about allowing God to use you in a different capacity? Maybe God doesn't want you to teach. Maybe God wants you to now, because you have such a level of influence, that maybe he wants you to be an usher, to stand at the door and greet the people. Or maybe he wants you to be a part of some other organization or some other part of the ministry. So many of us, we limit ourselves and we limit who God is, and we limit what God can do for us and through us. And because of that limitation, then in reality, what we're really doing is killing ourselves and killing the ministry. That's right. I know you think you're not. I know you think that, you know, if I don't do it, it can't get done. Well, let me just tell you, and this is truth. No one monkey run the show. Not one missing one nut person or missing a bolt will stop the machine. You are a part. Now, I'm not trying to say that you're not an important part. I'm not trying to say that your life is insignificant. But what I am saying is, how about allowing someone else, or how about allowing God to use you in another area or another capacity? Are you too afraid? Do you not trust God enough to give you the power and the anointing to move and function in that position? Do you not think that God can do it? Well, I tell you what. Let's take a break. I'm going to allow you to think about that. I'm going to allow you also to make sure that you go get some fluid, that you realize that you still need to, you still need fluids in your body. I don't know about where you are, but right now it was 97 degrees today. And a couple of hours ago, it was still 91 degrees at 7:30 at night. So I'm going to get some water. You can go get some water, some lemonade, or some tea. What we're going to do, think about that. Think about the fact that maybe God wants you to use you in a different capacity. And are you trusting enough in God to move you? What we're going to do, we're going to play this brief song, and then we're going to come right back.
Freedom, I have found you. You're the makes all things new. Yeah. I'm not going back, moving ahead. Here to declare to you, my past is over.
To stand still and limit the flow and limit the will of God, or are you going to move forward with the Spirit? Well, okay, I thought the song was over with. As we see, we continue on throughout this pericope and Deuteronomy chapter 31. We see that God has told Moses what's about to happen, the transition of power, the transition of leadership, and the transition of job description, where Joshua depended upon Moses and was Moses' right-hand man, as we would say, The number two, he is about to move into a new position. He's about to move into a position. And the wonderful thing, I appreciate God. I love him for who he is. But I appreciate when you look at it, first God speaks to the leaders, and then he speaks to the people about the leaders and what's about to happen. There's no secrecy. There's no back door. There's no under the table. He says this. God says to the people who Moses is about to, in verse 7, let me read it. It says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, or Moses, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. I would only imagine that this is a difficult task, and the way that Joshua must be feeling. Here I am as Joshua. I've been following Moses. I've been doing what God has told him to do. And now God has spoken, and God is about to not to speak through him, but he's about to speak directly to me to give the message to the people, and how important that is, and how it is important for us, again, to realize that God doesn't want you just to sit still or get to a place of complaints or a place of being compliant or no, not compliant, complacent. There you go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Get to a place of complacency. He wants to, he's always challenging us to produce more fruit. That's the whole purpose of pruning. Now, I'm not a country boy, even though I carry a country name, and my family is from the south, further south than D.C., because D.C. is below the Mason-Dixon line. But they're further south in North Carolina, and I spent some time in watermelon patches and in the country, and I understand the process of pruning. And you get out early in the morning, and you cut on trees, and you cut on plants, and you allow new leaves and stuff to grow forth. You gather the old fruit and you cut, and then you allow the new fruit to be produced. Well, that's what God wants us to do in our lives. God wants us to get to a place where we're just not being complacent, and we're just not doing something, and we're not relying on him. I will admit, there was a time that in my former church, because I knew the people, because I knew God, and because of the gifts that God gave me, sometimes I would not walk, or I would not be as prepared as I should have been. And there was times that I would pray, and then God's spirit would fall down and fall down on me and use me and bless the people. But then there were times that I just didn't want to do. I didn't want to set aside time. I didn't want to do what God was calling me. I didn't want to get up to a place of purity and holiness. And I would still get up, and God would grant me favor. And that was relying more on my gifts and my talent. But I remember God saying, when are you going to rely on me? It's not about you. And so God moved me from that ministry. And I used to always complain or ask God, why would you remove me? I was so, I felt so good. It was like, you know, putting on a nice glove or a good pair of shoes. It fit perfect. It wasn't complacent. It was great. And God said, that's the reason why. Because I'm trying to produce more fruit from you. I'm trying to get you to not depend on your talents or your gifts, but I need you to depend on me. And there's some tasks that I need you to do and for fulfill. And you can't do it being here doing the same old, same old. So I'm going to call you to another field to do a different kind of work. And I can only imagine that this is the feeling that Joshua has now. I really do believe and pray that the body of Christ, the body of believers, would be so much better if its leaders would listen to God, get the instruction from God, prepare the next leader to be the one to step up into their position so that the ministry, so that the gospel can continue to go on and move and flow. Again, so many pastors end up dying in the pulpit. And then when they die or when they did not set up a contingency plan or a plan of succession, then it was major turmoil. There was major strife. And the church didn't function as it ought to have. But here, Moses is being obedient to the will of God and saying, I got to move aside because there is a next. There's a next one. There's a next leader. And I would challenge us, those who are listening live and those who are listening in the archive or the rebroadcast, will you please, I'm begging you, will you please prepare the next generation? I don't know how, I don't know when. You got to talk to God about that. But please prepare the next generation. Please prepare a successor. It might be for your family, it might be for your business, but you ought to be prepared. I tell people, coming from a funeral home background, a mortuary science background with my uncle and my father, I have seen so many families fall apart because there wasn't a will in place. There wasn't a succession plan in place. But when you transition, you either leave your family a blessing or you leave them a bill. You're going to leave them a blessing by having a successful plan or having a will of who gets what and what's going on and what are your wishes, or you just going to leave them a bill and they ain't going to know what to do and they're going to be scrambling around trying to find money to so-called put you away good, whatever that means. Well, back to the subject. We want to challenge you really to, again, think about what God has you doing now. And what are your current gifts? What are your current talents? Are they different from what they were 10, 20 years ago? And if they are, that's fine. That's great. But you ought not be complacent in what you're doing now. You ought to ask God, God, how can you use me? In what new way do you want to use me? I know it ain't going to feel good. And I said, I know it's not going to feel good. I know I'm not going to want to. But I would rather be obedient and not feel good than to feel good and be in a place of disobedience. So what is it that God is calling you to do new in your life? And then are you willing to even ask God? Are you too afraid? Are you too narrow-minded? Are you too stiff-collared to say, can't nobody do this but me? Somebody was doing it before you, and surely somebody's going to do it after you. Wouldn't you want to be like Moses and set up a successful plan and share that plan with the leader or the leaders and then the people so that it will be clear without mistake what God wants from you or what God wants to do with you? The last verse, verse 8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I challenge you, my family, my brothers and sisters. The Lord is going before you. You should never feel like you're being forgotten or forsaken. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged, but have faith over fear. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for tonight's lesson. We thank you for how you have taught us in your word how to have a successful plan, how to, first of all, be in a place that you can use us and be willing to be used. We thank you, Lord God. We know it might feel uncomfortable, but we pray that you will give us, and we know you will, give us the strength, the grace, the anointing, the power, and the authority to do what you want us to do. And then instruct others and share with others. And then even challenge them to do something new in God. We thank you. We give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Well, for those who are listening live, if you have a question or a comment, you can press 1 on your phone, and I will unmute your phone. For those who, again, who are listening to the archives, if you want to, you can always send me an email at jvan91@yahoo.com. That's J-A-Y, V as in victory, ANN91@yahoo.com. Again, let me just share with you the lineup. We ask that you please tune in Monday through Saturday. On Monday night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, the dynamic duo of the Store family, Reverend Dr. Jesse Store and his queen, Tammy Store. They share in the spirit of oneness, marriage ministry, and enlightenment, just oneness. It's because this is even more than just about marriage. It's about relationship. They always share what God has led them or put on their heart. That's from 8 to 9 o'clock p.m. East Coast Standard Time. And then from 9 o'clock to 9:30, we have Minister Leah Killings, wonderful woman of God, great preacher. So that's the Monday night. On Wednesday night, it's yours truly, sharing from 8:30 to 9:30. And then on Thursday night, wow, I always have a blank. Bishop George Flint. I don't know why I always do that. Please, Lord, help me. Bishop George Flint is on at 8 o'clock every Thursday night. Mighty man of God, you ought to listen to what he has to say, because he's always sharing a viewpoint that God has for us. So that's on Thursdays. And then on Saturday, we have Brother Joseph Amos Collins at 1 o'clock on Saturdays. Usually shares from 1 to 2. But Brother Collins, a mighty man of God, out of the Cleveland area, Ohio area. We thank God for him. Always Amos Joseph Collins, Minister Joseph Amos Collins. So that's the lineup. Please, if maybe tonight's lesson was for you. Maybe God is challenging you to say, you know what, I want to do something new in your life. And maybe God wants to use you to have a blessing. Maybe God wants to use you as a blessing on Blog Talk Radio, on Omega Ministry Blog Talk Radio. You can contact me or Dr. Storr, or if you contact me, I will get you in contact with Dr. Storr. And God is maybe want to share a word through you. And you can contact, and we can arrange for you to be connected. And we'll talk first. There's no guarantees. But we definitely want to make sure that you are in the will of God and doing what God has called you to do. So, without further ado, we are so, again, grateful for those who are listening live and those who are listening to the rebroadcast. We are asking that you continue to pray for my family. Pray for my for my brothers. Pray for my sister-in-law, my mother, and there's so many others that have gone through transitions, parents or family members that has transitioned. Matter of fact, on last Thursday, we was just thinking about the fact that it had been 14 years. Since my dad transitioned, and it had been 9 years. It had been 7 years since my best friend transitioned on the same day. We thank God for the life of Willie J. Vann Sr. and my boy, my man, Wilbur L. Rice. We pray that God will continue to allow them to rest in paradise. And one day we will be there too. So they can't crown them until we get there. So ask God, talk to God, find out what he wants you to do. And it might be different than what you've been doing. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Have faith over fear. As always, peace and love, Reverend Willie J. Vann Jr. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, she's intentional, never failing. All things
are working for my good.
Cause she's intentional. And it's never failing. All things are working
for my good.
These intentions.